Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Ed and now Steve Jordahl. Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
Sporting a striped shirt today.
I give everybody's eyes a break every once in a while, you know.
Ed, you want to tell us about this right here? This right here, Ed.
Oh, the Marriage Family Life Conference for 2023. That is coming up in July. This is it, folks. If you're wanting to go to the MFL conference, it's titled For His Glory Alone this year. This is the last week to sign up. So the
What is this conference and where is it?
This conference is July 6th.
Who sponsors it, Ed? I'm sorry. I'm throwing all these questions at you one time.
That's right.
I'll let you answer them and I apologize.
This happens all the time when my wife and I are talking about where to go to eat.
Okay.
All right. Get all these questions.
Okay.
All right. So American Family Association, This is our third annual Marriage Family Life Conference here in Tupelo, Mississippi, home of our flagship station for American Family Radio, our network. It is July 6th through the 8th. It'll be at Cadence Bank Arena in Tupelo. You can go to marriagefamilylife.net to register and find more information in terms of how much it costs. It is very affordable, and we do that because we want people to bring families. Now, here's what's unique about the Marriage Family Life Conference. Again, this is the last week. Friday is the cutoff for signing up for this, and they are pretty nearly full, so you really need to get registered as early as you can this week. What's unique about this conference is we decided when talking to Will and Miki Addison, who head this up for us, when we decided to go forward with this idea for these conferences, we said, and Will and Miki were the ones who were wanting this approach, we all agreed we were not going to create a conference where you shove the kids in a closet somewhere or you leave them at home. Kids are taught, just like the adults at this conference, there are youth and children's tracks for them to learn about culture, about apologetics, about politics, all those kinds of things. And so this conference aims to minister to culture-wearied adults and youth and to equip believers to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, as the Bible says. So marriagefamilylife.net, click on the Register Now button. That is coming up July 6th through the 8th, but Friday is the cutoff day for registration. Please go do that now. You will not regret it. This is our third conference, and Tim, it has been very popular, and we get great feedback. They have great speakers for these conferences. So, folks, go sign up.
Where can you sign up again?
Yes, marriagefamilylife.net is the website, marriagefamilylife.net. Find out information, speakers, the schedule, all those kinds of things.
Steve, go.
Hey, well, I got to start with this because Ed told me I had to. We've been warning about the dangers of AI, about how it some people or people in the know say we need to take a break because if it gets too intelligent and too ambitious, it could be dangerous for people. Well, the White House also agrees, and so they have announced a plan to crack down on artificial intelligence, they've named Kamala Harris as the AI czar.
Yes, I saw this, and I thought this was this. Listen,
the headlines write themselves.
Yeah, I don't want this to come across as cruel. Mm-mm. Okay, because listen, folks, look at me. They consider my intelligence to be artificial somehow, some way. I got it out of a cereal box or whatever. Not necessarily the sharpest knife in the drawer. But for Kamala Harris to be named the AI czar, the artificial intelligence czar, like you said, I thought that really, the jokes just write themselves or something like
that. Yeah, how'd she do with the border Border. She was border control czar too. Remember that?
Things are well now that they've got the troops down at the border. Things are going very smoothly down at the border. People are coming in and being processed and putting on buses. There's no hindrance now at the border.
You know, apparently that the absurdity of politics in Washington D.C. when the president of the United States and his administration say, "Listen, we are sending 1,500 troops down to the border." You know, people might have thought, oh, to try to shut the border down. Yeah. No.
No.
These National Guard troops
hold
are there
door
to
open.
Help process. Yes. Can I help you with your groceries, ma'am? Can I hold the door open?
That
for
is
you?
What they're doing.
Yes. They're processing people yeah. coming across the border.
Yeah.
I have a good friend who's very close to Kamala Harris. So, you know. And
do you really? Or you
no. Maybe. I might. You
okay.
never know.
All right.
But he told me that Kamala made a statement about being the AI czar. I'd like to read it to you if I could.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is Kamala Harris's statement about being the AI czar. It may or may not be real. Computers are pretty boxes that sit on our desks. Who doesn't love computers? We have to deal with computers of today in the context of what today is and what it can be while it is today. The future of computers is happening today. So in view of tomorrow and with the understanding that today and every day is 24 hours long, we must leverage computers while it is today and before it is tomorrow. Excuse me, I have to get down to El Paso so I can czar the border.
Yeah, all of that was rewritten from stuff she's actually said.
Just about, yes.
So, all right, so we made fun of the vice president, deservedly so. I guess we should move on.
So you're serious. They did name her.
I am deadly serious. They named her as AI czar.
Artificial intelligence.
We probably need to move on.
Yeah.
There's a lot inside me that wants to come out that I shouldn't be saying on the radio.
The Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide.
It's not holy at all.
All right.
Moving right along.
So over the weekend, last week, the court found several of the Proud Boys guilty of seditious conspiracy. Now, that is
related to January 6th.
It's related to January 6th.
Who are the Proud Boys exactly?
The Proud Boys are a group of conservative young guys that generally act as enforcers for conservative people. So they're the ones that are going to go and they're the rights version of BLM, except without the all the baggage.
Or are they like white supremacists?
They're
AKK
not.
Type,
they really what? Are not. Although some have accused them of being, they're not. They are just conservative, and they just see the need.
Okay.
They see the need to protect and be the muscle for people who are advocating things like, you know.
All right, now I'm looking on Wikipedia.
Yes.
All right, they don't lie.
No, never.
They're saying it's an exclusively male North American far-right neo-fascist organization that promotes and engages in political violence in the United States, and you call them conservative. So what I'm saying
yeah.
is, what you just said is not what groups like Wikipedia or the left-wing media.
Nor this judge.
Say.
And right. I'm actually saying this to get to someplace. So they were found guilty of a law that had not been ever used. It was written right after the Civil War. Anyway, it criminalizes dissent, and the seditious conspiracy carries a punishable sentence of up to 20 years in prison. Well, when they were doing the closing remarks, the first thing that the prosecutors put up was a video of Donald Trump saying to the Proud Boys, stand down and stand by. Now, Julie Kelly.
He did that during a debate.
Yeah.
a debate. But I think he said he doesn't know who they are.
He might not have known. I don't know.
I think Trump said. But then he said he did say stand down. What does he
stand
say?
Stand by.
Stand by.
Like, stand by. You're going like, stand by for what? Orders to do something?
Well, that's what they're arguing. And so Julie Kelly.
Who's arguing?
The left. So Donald Trump is under several investigations. He's already been indicted. They say that there's more coming. And one of the things that they're going to use, they're going to try to pin on him, according to Julie Kelly, is this seditious conspiracy charge. And I want you to hear what she has to say. Cut eight.
If he's indicted of seditious conspiracy, which I think the chances of that just increased tremendously today, I can see Jack Smith seeking pretrial detention for Donald Trump, which is exactly what they've done in every defendant who's been charged with seditious conspiracy. You will be held in prison until your trial commences. I've watched these judges and prosecutors more than anyone on this side, but nothing will surprise me. And in fact, I'm sure they're just chomping at the bit right now, seeking to keep Donald Trump in jail, particularly as he's campaigning for president, pretending that he poses a grave, a security risk to the American people.
Putting Donald Trump in jail before the election. It's kind of a banana republic thing to do.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. Are we talking to Jack Smith, the fellow who's investigating January 6th?
Yes.
And what role
Donald Trump may have played in it.
Donald Trump may have played in it, right?
Yes.
And whether to charge him with something?
Seditious conspiracy.
Seditious conspiracy.
Yes.
Okay, I would have to see not that you have it before you, Steve, and I'm not a lawyer, but I also think it would be helpful if I understood how that law reads. You know, what is seditious conspiracy? You know what I'm saying?
Well, go ahead.
I hope people will hear me before they throw things at me on the radio. Former President Trump riled up those people on January the 6th. All right?
Yep.
I'm not saying he's guilty of seditious conspiracy. I would have to see what that law is. Okay, he riled up the folks. All right? He had the rally at the White House, which is fine. Then he sent them down to the Capitol. He said, go down there, give them blank. Am I right?
Peacefully and patriotically.
Yes. He said peacefully and patriotically, but he also said, give them Hades.
Yes.
Right.
Am I saying anything
that's
incorrect?
That's what happened.
No, you're not.
Okay. And he said, I'm coming down there with you. Probably would have been helpful had he gone down there in retrospect, because then he could have stopped perhaps these people going into the Capitol building. But he didn't go down there. After he said he was going to go down there, I guess the Secret Service said no.
Well, he tried to wrestle the car away.
Well, I don't know if he did that.
He didn't.
I'm just saying that whole day went, to use the expression, went south.
Yeah.
And it was meant to be a patriotic day for people to express their First Amendment rights. As people thought the election was, those people who thought the election was mishandled or stolen, and that was fine. That's their First Amendment rights. But I'm just saying, it's gonna, I think it could be 50-50 on whether or not he's charged with something here, because they're gonna say that the prosecutor, if they're gonna charge him, they're gonna say that he instigated this with his words. You see what I'm saying?
That's what they've been saying, yes.
And I'm just saying, to me, that's not altogether clear. Again, we need to look at that law, whether they have a case there or not. Now, is that crazy?
You're saying it's 50, you believe it's 50-50 that
whether he'll be charged or not.
That he will charge Trump.
Yes,
and apparently, according to Julie Smith, with seditious conspiracy, which I personally think is absurd.
Let me rephrase that. I agree with you completely. Yeah. Seditious conspiracy, I agree that's absurd. But I am saying if you have a Democrat prosecutor, it's 50-50 whether he's going to use that. I want to say I don't agree with it. I'm just saying this 50-50 that he could go that way.
I think it's his intention. It's been his intention all along. Smith, prosecutor, Jack Smith, is it?
Mm-hmm.
That he's planned that. even before he began the investigation. That's what the way these folks operate. I think, I do not think, with all due respect to Julie Smith, that they will put Trump in jail.
No.
That would be, you talk about Banana Republic stuff. Listen, the Proud Boys, when I was talking about how the left views the Proud Boys, and listen, if they are neo-fascist, I oppose them.
Right.
I do not support fascist organizations. If they have actually called for violence against the U.S. government, I oppose them. I disagree with them. Let me tell you this. The Proud Boys exist because, by and large, these blue states did nothing about these BLM protests where they burned down entire communities, and they did nothing about Antifa.
Correct.
All right? That's why the Proud Boys exist. And if you don't follow the law, I'm talking about on both sides, if you do not follow the law, if you do not uphold the law, you create the anarchy and chaos that results in radical groups existing. I'm not saying, I don't really know that much about the Proud Boys, except a few things here and there that I've read, but they exist because Antifa existed and BLM protests existed without being stopped.
All right, so you guys are arguing or talking about the legal, perhaps, ramifications. As non-lawyers, all of us, we're right. talking about that. But let me put it in this light. I don't think the American people, and specifically conservatives, trust the apparatus of government anymore, whether it be the media, and I do believe they're an apparatus of government, whether it be the FBI or whether it be courts. And any time, anything, Donald Trump comes up, I automatically doubt its honesty, its right. legitimacy. If they were to put Donald Trump in jail, and I think they'll try their hardest, I just personally think they'll try, would that be enough for you to just give an anger vote to Donald Trump to say, I don't really necessarily think he'd be the best candidate, but I am so angry at them putting him in jail, I want to see the left
eat its words. I have an alternative view on that.
Yes, sir.
I don't think they really want to put him in jail. By they, I mean the left. Yes, there are the rabid ones who want to, but I think to have him operating politically, they think would be their best chance to beat the Republicans coming up in 2024. They may be wrong about that, but I'm just saying if you look at the and right now President Trump is leading the Republican primaries almost in every state. You know, waiting on the announcement by Governor DeSantis whether he's going to challenge him or not. I think it's 99% that he's going to announce he's going to challenge him or not. But I don't know that Democrats want him in jail because that makes him a martyr. And
which would be my vote if that's what the result which, would be. The,
which, if you look,
about.
Which you look, yeah. so it's actually Burr Abbott, right?
Yeah.
In the sense that don't throw me the briar patch, even though that's where you want to go. If you're President Trump, keep persecuting me and watch my numbers grow. That's the way Trump is probably thinking, because if you look what happened after the Bragg indictment of President Trump, his numbers went way up, right? His among Republican voters. So he's probably not that anybody wants to have legal troubles. I'm not saying President Trump, wants that. I'm just saying that. To your point, kind of, Steve, the more they go after him, the more, at least among his supporters, the more fervor for his for him.
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely makes sense. And I think if things unfolded the way you laid them out, Steve, where the former president is put in jail over January 6th, and some of these prosecutors are talking about we're going to wait. I think in New York City, they're talking about the next hearing is in December, just before the primaries start. It's going to become very clear that this is politically motivated and not legal wranglings over facts that we all accept. No, this is going to be political prosecutions. And with these recent poll numbers on Joe Biden and the specter of even further economic woes happening, woes coming because of people coming across the border, potential war with China, all right, you could have a severely weakened even more than he is now, Democratic candidate for president, and you might guarantee the election of Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump, if he were listening to me right now, I would say I would run on your record, and I would run on what's happening now, and I would say fake media and the deep state, all the things we've been talking about in terms
of weaponization of the FBI.
Yeah, on the Hunter Biden stuff. Yep. I mean, the intelligence agents who signed off on this letter we talked about in the last hour. Trump should bang that drum from now until 2024 election. And I think the Democrats and the left would actually put him back in office.
Yeah, but he can't. He's got to go. He's not been able to do that very, very much recently. He's been after Ron DeSantis.
Right. Which is why we've said you should leave DeSantis alone.
Right.
At this point, he should. But will he? I doubt it.
Well, we'll wait and see. This is turning nasty, and I'm just saying.
Trump has said, listen, when President Trump, for better or worse, gets you on his crosshairs, he doesn't generally stop. And so right now he's been focused in on going after the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. I think he's trying to take him out politically before the primary season starts. That's the reason he's focused in on Governor DeSantis. But we'll see what happens. You got the first debate in August, right?
Yes, right.
First debate in August. And then you've got – when do the primaries start?
In January.
We've got that long to wait?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, that's why when President Trump announced, it was kind of way in advance. And that's why we're talking like the primaries are underway right now, but we've got to wait all the way till January.
And I completely agree with you strategically. You would think that President Trump would say, you know, I'm not going to worry about any of these Republican challengers because they can't beat me. I'm going to focus on Biden and the Democrats. But he hasn't done that yet. Now he did Trump, I'm so far ahead in the polls. I don't need to debate any of these other Republican candidates. He did. Now, whether he'll change his mind or not, I don't. He may change his mind. And who knows if when DeSantis announces whether he gets a bump of 10 or 20 points and gets closer. But right now, it's a wide margin. If you go by the polls between Trump and DeSantis, and then there's everybody else who's below 10%, right?
Yes.
So if DeSantis announces, when DeSantis announces, if he gets a bump in the polls and starts getting, let's say, within 10 points of Trump, then Trump may consider, it may have to reconsider whether or not he goes to the debate in August or not. So
I think that's likely, too, by the way.
What's likely?
The bump that you're talking about.
Probably so.
Or as Chief Inspector Clouseau would say, the bump.
The bump.
You will get that bump in the polls, you know.
All right.
Does your politics bite?
That is not my politics.
Are y'all doing?
Clouseau.
Chief Inspector Clouseau.
Peter Sellers.
Yes.
My favorite detective.
And mine was Columbo.
Well, that's.
You mean comedy.
Comedy, yeah.
Comedy. And it's Kamala.
Kamala.
It's Kamala.
Kamala. Kamala.
Kamala.
Kamala.
Okay, boy George. We're opposed to that. We'll be back tomorrow.